coming up on this episode of the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast.
And so we would see cases where, you know, I'm your buddy. So I see the police chasing you and I want to help you. So what happens is the police are chasing the guy and the guy, his buddy runs up and bumps the police officer down. So that his friend can get away from the police.
Right.
Well, guess what happened?
Welcome to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast with Dr. William T. Choctaw, MD, JD, where the doctor helps you unlock your full potential by equipping you with tools and knowledge in the areas of health, wealth, and wisdom, anchored in his experience as a business executive, a physician surveyor for the Joint Commission, a former mayor, and over 50 years of experience as a general surgeon. You've got questions, he's got answers. So let's get started. Here's Dr. William T. Choctaw, MD, JD.
This is Dr. William T. Choctaw, and I will be your host today to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast. We always like to go over our beliefs. We believe life is about being of service to other people. We believe knowledge is power. We believe leaders can change the world. And so, in essence, what we want to do for you, our audience, is to empower you with knowledge to make the world a better place. So welcome, Bernie.
Hey, hello there. How's it going? I want to talk to you today about what are your rights when dealing with the police?
Oh,
and what are their rights when dealing with you? Do I have the right to refuse to answer questions? Obviously, you can. But we mentioned license registration. I'm going to start going a little bit faster.
Okay.
Consent to allow them to search my car. Obviously, the answer is generally no. You can if you want. There's nothing to say that you don't have to consent, but you're generally no.
Yeah. Okay.
Can the police keep me there for a prolonged period of time? They stop you for a traffic violation and they want to keep you there. And they tell you, oh, well, you know what? We have to bring the dogs. We're bringing a canine unit. And they'll be here in about 20 minutes. But while we're waiting, we'll just ask you a few questions. We can talk while we're waiting. Supreme Court has said, no, you cannot have a prolonged detention while you're just citing a person. It has to be reasonable. You cite the person, you let them go, and be done with it. You can't use that as a ruse to keep them there while you conduct other investigations, try to get them to admit to anything. Okay, so, yes, quickly, can they search my vehicle? Yes, they can search it pursuant to a warrant, if they have a warrant to search, and they can search it if you give them consent. They can search your vehicle if there's probable cause, evidence of criminal activity that's inside the vehicle. If there's anything in plain view that we discussed earlier, they can search it, as we mentioned earlier, pursuant to an arrest, because when they arrest you, if your vehicle's there and they impound the vehicle, then when it gets to the station, they do an inventory search, an impound search, and whatever they find, boom, is admissible into evidence.
Got it.
Okay. They can search you if they have some reasonable suspicion that there are weapons in the vehicle. They can search you search the vehicle if there's officer safety issues. As we mentioned earlier, they can search the glove compartment for a license and registration. Now, and as we said earlier, illegally seized evidence may be thrown out. Okay?
Okay.
That's pretty much it with regard to vehicles. We've discussed home, vehicles, and in public place. Now, the one last area we're going to talk about is police use of force.
Police use of force?
Yes. When can they use force on a person?
Okay, got it.
The police can use, when can they use deadly force? Police can only use deadly force when it is necessary in defense of human life, where there is an imminent threat of death or serious bodily injury to the officer or to others. And they must stop using deadly force once the danger has stopped. Okay?
So
if somebody's coming at you with a gun, or that teenager we talked about had a gun, turned out to be a replica, but they didn't know that. And the standard is whether a reasonable officer would, in similar circumstances, believe that he was justified in using force. It's the reasonable person standard. So if the kid is coming at you with a gun and you know it looks like a real gun, it turns out to be a fake gun, and he points it at you, now, then theoretically, the officer could theoretically shoot him.
Right.
Now, on the other hand, in this particular video, when they showed it on the news, on the one you were talking about, the kid was saying something like, you could hear him saying something like, it's not real. I'm going to, you know, it's not real, officer. So, yeah, does it get to the point where they're not justified in using deadly force? The question, too, becomes, what is deadly force? Well, a gun is deadly force. A knife is deadly force. Can a stick be deadly force? It becomes an interesting question.
Sure.
In the particular situation where, when I was a young man and I saw the police officer shoot the guy, what happened was he was stealing a car in South Houston. And so what happened was he drove his vehicle, they said, at an officer, in which event his car became a deadly weapon. In which event they contend we had the right to use deadly force to defend ourselves because he was driving his car at us, and if he had hit us, that he was using his car as a deadly weapon.
But what about the situations, at least if I'm correct, where the person is running away, they shoot him in the back and say they were in fear of their life, but the person is running away from them. How is that?
That's generally not acceptable. There are some jurisdictions where they take the position that a fleeing felon, that they can apprehend a fleeing felon, that you can use deadly force against a fleeing felon. However, that's generally not the case. That does not meet the standard of using only that force which is necessary under the circumstances.
Okay.
And so ordinarily, it's kind of embarrassing sometimes to the police officers, because a lot of times they're chasing some guy and they can't shoot him. Legally, they cannot shoot him in the back if they don't believe he has a deadly weapon. And so then they chase him, and the officer's getting tired. But they can't shoot him in the back. If they do, or shoot him during the process if they don't believe he has a weapon. So they have to pursue him, and they have to use reasonable force to detain him. Reasonable force, which is just to control him so that they can handcuff him. And that does not include deadly force.
Well, you know, I guess I've been watching too much Law and Order. I need to talk to professionals like you, because it seems like on Law and Order, you know, you'll have this sort of chubby person who's chasing this guy, and he can't catch him. There's no way he's going to catch him. So he just shoots him because he can't catch him. I mean,
the guy's going to get away. Civil rights lawyers jump all over those. There are certain jurisdictions, states, because these laws can vary on some of these laws.
Understood.
Some of them are nationwide, but others are state to state. And there are certain states where a fleeing felon, if he's wanted for a deadly type of offense, you know, a serious and dangerous offense, they would allow the deadly force. But ordinarily, that's not the case, and certainly you're subjected to a suit if you start shooting somebody in the back. So lawyers love that. They'll be suing. We talked about fleeing officers. Interesting point is, like you mentioned earlier, a fleeing suspect who's running away, and he throws something, he discards the drugs, the gun, or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Well, he loses all of his rights once he throws it away.
Okay.
Because it's no longer in his control, and discarded evidence is admissible in a court of law.
Okay.
So he basically waives his right to challenge the search once he throws the contraband away. And we actually saw cases. I could never believe this, but I actually saw these cases where the police report says, well, we were standing right there. I detained him, and he pulled some drug packet out of his pocket and threw it on the ground. And I'm thinking, who would be stupid enough to do that? But then they show you the video, and there it is. The guy reaches in his pocket and tries to toss it to the side.
So, Barry, how many years were you in the prosecutor's office?
I mean,
how
I was
many
there years? 29 years.
29 years, almost 30 years. Wow.
Yes, yeah.
I bet you saw everything.
We saw a lot of stuff. It's intriguing stuff. A lot of the things you see on television, they really do happen in the courts. I mean, defendants going crazy, trying to attack the judges. The only thing that doesn't really happen is that Perry Mason stuff.
Lawyer stuff.
All the lawyer stuff happens. It's just at the end, the defendant all of a sudden gets up and says, okay, I did it.
Right.
every episode of Perry Mason.
That's right. By the end of the hour, he right. That doesn't happen.
Right.
Interesting.
I don't know how we're doing on time. We actually had a case too, where I mentioned earlier resisting, delaying, or obstructing an officer. And so we would see cases where, I'm your buddy. So I see the police chasing you and I want to help you. Mm-hmm. So what happens is the police are chasing the guy, and the guy, his buddy runs up and bumps the police officer down. So that his friend can get away from the police.
Right.
Well, guess what happened? He gets arrested for bumping.
Of course. He's in a fury with the.
The question, now you didn't ask this question, but here it comes.
Okay.
Can you use profanity?
Oh, okay.
When you're having an encounter with the police, can you give them the finger? Well, you certainly, common sense says don't do it.
Okay, it violates your common sense standards.
Certainly don't do it. Now, is it legal? Can you give the police officer the finger? Probably. You say free speech. Can free speech allow you to use profanity? Maybe so, but you're going to piss that officer off. And if you say something that rises to the level of what's called fighting words,
okay,
you've gone too far.
Profanity could do that. Yeah.
There are certain insults that are so inflammatory.
Understood.
That they rise to the level of what's called fighting words, in which event you've gone too far. And then lastly.
Okay.
Searches in security zone. There are certain areas where you do not have virtually all these constitutionally protected rights. And one of those main areas is an airport.
Oh, okay.
They don't have to have probable cause, reasonable suspicion.
Makes sense.
They can just, you got to go through that metal detector. You got to be searched. And if you don't like it, don't go to the airport.
That makes sense. And then, because it's a safety thing. I mean, it affects everybody, theoretically, in the airport or using the airport.
Yes.
Okay.
The same thing is true for courts and certain public buildings.
Makes sense.
I think that's all we have for today.
I should tell our podcast viewers, one of the things that's unique about Bernie, and one of the reasons why we have him to educate us, is that he is a prosecutor. He's not a defense attorney. He's the guy who's trying to make sure that if you commit a crime or if you are guilty of a transgression, that you pay for that. And I think a lot of times we don't get, this is my opinion, we don't get the prosecutor's perspective. And I think what makes Bernie unique, in my judgment, one, he's a good friend of mine and somebody I trust, But he can give me a balanced evaluation of something. I don't have to worry about, you know, one side or the other. He's going to tell me yes or no, up or down, black or white type thing. And so it allows us to look at the data, look at the facts, look at the environment or the circumstances in a balanced way and say, you know, you just didn't use common sense when you were, you know, using all these words, whatever. And that just makes sense to me. And so my point is, I think, Bernie, that's what you uniquely, in my judgment, bring to this podcast is your reflection and your experience in addition to who you are, you know, because I think that's important. Go ahead.
Thank you for that. I really appreciate that. And that brings to thought just a side issue. Uh-huh. A lot of people, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, those prosecutors are evil. They're so bad. It's terrible, terrible, terrible. They're against the people. You know, there's a train of thought of that. Uh-huh. One of the things that I really loved about being a prosecutor is when we get the cases and we review the cases, and many times we look at the case and say, oh, no, we're not prosecuting this case. Okay. We're throwing it out. Okay. It's not going to go forward. That's the discretion you have as a prosecutor. If you look at the case and you don't believe that all the evidence is there, if you believe that there's a reasonable doubt as to whether the person committed the crime, mm-hmm. if you believe that there's any dishonesty or irregularities, you can throw the case out. So that discretion was a wonderful thing. I really enjoyed that. And I really thank you for allowing me to be on your podcast. You, like I go back, you're the most brilliant person I know.
You're very kind. But thank you for sharing your valuable time with us. And I can tell you, and I'm going to stop watching Law & Order. I can tell you, because the prosecutor is never the hero. You know, the defense attorney is the hero. You know, I think about Tom Cruise, and I think about all the other, you know, defense attorneys, To Kill a Mockingbird and whatever. No one glorifies the prosecutor.
Yeah, that's a terrible job. No.
So I am absolutely delighted for you being willing to share your knowledge with us, to educate us, you know, because knowledge is power. And the more we know and the more we're educated, then we know what to do and what not to do to keep us healthy mentally and spiritually. So thank you again for all of this. Any other final comments?
No, thank you very much. God bless you. Keep doing what you're doing, because it's a great thing. It's very helpful for our community.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And what we always like to say to ourselves and to our audience, be the change that you want to see in the world. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast with Dr. William T. Choctaw, MD, JD. Be sure to check out other great episodes covering areas of health, wealth, and wisdom at thwwp.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out the books, blogs, and other literature in your preferred format. And don't forget to leave a review, subscribe, share, and support the podcast. That's at thwwp.com. You've been listening to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast with Dr. William T. Choctaw, MD, JD.